Good morning, Todd Zwillick here, filling in for John Hockenberry. The Climate Change Summit in Copenhagen wrapped up Saturday with positive reviews from at least one participant.
The world's major economies have come together to accept their responsibility to take action to confront the threat of climate change. After extremely difficult and complex negotiations, this important breakthrough lays the foundation for international action in the years to come.
All right, he would say that because the President of the United States has some political capital invested in the Copenhagen conference and in the issue of climate change more generally. But the question, the real question is, how much carbon are we going to emit? And did the conference make any progress towards lowering the amount of carbon we put into the air? We're joined once again by David Biello. He's Associate Editor of Environment and Energy at Scientific American. He just returned from Copenhagen this weekend. And also Kathleen McGinty was Chair of the White House Council on Economic Quality during the Clinton-Gore administration.
Environmental quality, yeah.
What did I just say?
You said economic.
Oh, well, I suppose.
They're related.
I suppose both could be true, but you're right, Celeste. Environmental quality, thank you. Kathleen, thanks for joining us. David, I want to start with you. Winners and losers. We read a lot and heard a lot during the conference about the richer countries, the United States and the EU and China to some extent, versus the poor countries that are just trying to get off the ground economically. Winners and losers coming out of this?
Well, I think there's really only one partial winner, and that's President Obama. He, as you said, invested some political capital in this. And while he didn't get a perfect deal, he did get something to bring back home and say, you know, I succeeded. The losers are, well, everybody from President Obama and the rest of the world. Nobody got exactly what they wanted. Small island states still face rising sea levels. African countries don't get the development aid they're looking for. The U.S. and EU don't get the emissions cuts they're looking for. And China and India, for the first time, have to take on the burden of reducing their emissions.
Kathleen, what about you? Winners and losers, what do you think?
No, I guess I slightly disagree. I think that, unfortunately, the whole process in Copenhagen was a failure and a setback for both the United States and for the planet. For the planet, because instead of having a binding treaty in 2009, which up until a month ago was the objective, we're now looking at not even considering that until 2015. And for the United States, it shouldn't be that the President of the United States is put in a position to walk into a situation that has enabled itself to become so fractious, and for him to have to extend himself the way he did, really for a document that is not very much substantively.
That can at best, as David Biello describes it, be described as something. The president got something. So what does this now mean for, you say, the next round of talks, Kathleen, not until 2015, so we just keep polluting carbon for the next 5 years? Is that the game plan?
Well, look, the upshot was that everyone pledged to do what they've been doing, essentially. China, India, to their credit, have been taking very meaningful actions. In fact, they have on the books stronger laws and regulations for renewable energy as a country than we have at the national level today. They have stronger requirements for fuel efficiency, for example. So they've pledged, well, we'll keep it up and we'll send you a letter once a year telling you what we've been doing. And we said we would do what we've been doing, which is we'll continue to work towards putting those same kinds of things in place in the United States. So at best, I think we've got a status quo here. But in terms of the international scene, we have a setback from where we were supposed to have a binding accord this year to one where the date is past the next set of major elections in the United States to 2015. And that, to me, is tremendous momentum loss in terms of a planetary or a global agreement.
I agree with that, but I think the blame for that rests squarely on about 100 Americans, namely the U.S. Senate. The president was going into this situation without a lot of backing, let's say, from the political establishment, and that's why he found himself having to burst into meetings between, you know, Brazil, India, and China and really extend himself to get something.
David Biello, an editor with Scientific American, you heard Todd's slip at the beginning, which was probably Freudian because the environment is so tied up with economics. And I'm wondering, was it money that ended up sinking the ability to get a deal? What was it? What was the sticking point that kept us from getting anything out of Copenhagen?
Well, there were a number of sticking points, one of which is, of course, economic. The developed countries of the world don't necessarily want to sacrifice any economic growth, particularly in a time of economic crisis, to combating climate change. And that is doubly true for developing world, where their number one focus is getting the millions in their countries still in poverty out of poverty. But there were some other issues, such as verification. Kathleen mentioned the letter that China and India are going to send us once a year. The U.S. and others were pushing very hard for some form of independent verification that actual emission cuts were being made. That's because, at least on the basis of my own travels in China, oftentimes, let's say an emissions control device will be turned on when the journalists and public officials are there and then turned off again as soon as we leave.
Okay, so carbon emissions, sort of like a nuclear facility maybe outside of Pyongyang when you turn the webcams off when the inspectors get there.
Right.
Kathleen, we want to be able to verify carbon emissions in China and India, that they do what they say they're going to do. They probably want to know the same thing from us. The Senate isn't getting anywhere substantial yet on climate change. And if they don't get there, Obama, the president, says the EPA will regulate for them. Are we likely to see some carbon regulations, do you think, in the first term of Barack Obama?
Well, let's look at that. And I think David made an important point about the 100 Americans in the Senate. But in fairness to the Senate, they are carrying out what has been the president's top priority, which is health care. Now, it could be argued that maybe two pieces of legislation could have been identified as a priority by the White House to move through at the same time. But the singular focus has been on health care, and we haven't seen very much progress in the Senate on climate. I'm reminded of Teddy Roosevelt saying, you know, speak softly and carry a big stick. We didn't have a stick to carry into Copenhagen because we don't have legislation. And I think that should have counseled us to speak a little more softly.
A little more softly. Well, David Biello, the president is trying to hold that stick over the Senate. You guys regulate, or the Environmental Protection Agency will. Do you think we're going to see carbon regulations before the end of his term?
Well, it really all depends on health care. If health care implodes, it looks like climate will kind of go down with it. But as you know, Ben Nelson signed on just a day or so ago, so perhaps health care will pass. And then with that victory under his belt, Obama has said he will turn to climate change.
I thought you were going to say with that victory under his belt, Ben Nelson can then turn to the corn producers of Nebraska and how they'll be affected by climate change legislation. We'll see if that happens. All right, David Biello, Associate Editor of Environment and Energy at Scientific American, and Kathleen McGinty, Chair of the White House Council on Environmental Quality in the Clinton-Gore administration. Thank you both for joining.